Tonight we're starting a new message series. It's going to be shorter than I want it to be, and here's the reason why. This is something that we're going to be coming back to. This topic is so important, the topic of hearing God. I want to just put my toe in the water, see how this topic sits with you, see what your experience is, see what your questions are, so that we can go forward and go deeper. So over these next 3 weeks, it's going to be relatively basic for me. This might be brand new stuff for you. I don't know exactly where you are, so that's part of the idea, for me to figure out where you are in the idea of God speaking and you hearing. What does that look like? So the 3 weeks that we're going to do, this week we're talking about biblical stories of people hearing from God. Biblical stories of people hearing from God. Next week, it's God is speaking. Are we hearing? What does it look like for you and me as people in 2015 North America? What does it look like for us to hear God? And then the third week is usually one of the most common questions I'm asked. How do I know if it's God that's speaking to me and not someone or something else? How do I know that's God, not my conscience, not indigestion, not an evil spirit, not an angel, not something else? How do I know that it's God? So I'm crazy excited about our topic tonight. I think this is something that a lot of us want to know. We want to know how to do this better. And I know that this is something that God wants us to do. God wants us to hear and to listen and to obey and to develop a conversational relationship with him. So that's where we're going. Pray with me. Thank you, God, that you speak and that you spoke. Thank you, God, for these examples that we're going to look at of how in your holy word, in your scripture, you spoke. In varied and many ways, you spoke to people of old. Help us to learn from that and see what we can apply to ourselves today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Did everyone pick up a bulletin in the back? If you didn't, make sure you get one on the way out, because in your notes, there are 6 different ways that God spoke throughout the Bible. I'm not going to go into depth on all these. I just want to touch on these, and I want you to know that God spoke in these different ways. And then I've listed, with the help of this book called Hearing God by Dallas Willard. He is the person who pulled together these categories for me. It's a really good book. He's a pretty scholarly writer, so he uses some really hard constructed sentences. He's now passed away, but he used to be a philosophy professor at USC. Crazy deep guy, really, really bright, but sometimes he talks like an intellectual. I try not to. I don't know that I could if I wanted to, but we won't have to go there. So he pulled out these 6 different ways that God spoke in Scripture. So the first one is a phenomenon plus a voice. So this is a spectacle plus something was heard. So that would be like the burning bush. Moses saw something, it caught his attention, he goes over there, and then the Lord spoke. So that's the first way in the Bible that God spoke. Second way, and you can tell by the number of citations there if you've got your notes, this one was the most common throughout Scripture. Supernatural messenger or an angel. God actually uses messengers to speak to people. Now the word messenger in Greek is angelos. Where we get angel from, and it really, really means messenger. If you were an important person and you had to send a message to someone, you could send your angelos, your angel, to them, and they would take the message. It wasn't necessarily a spiritual idea, just a messenger. So there are all sorts of times when God sends a supernatural messenger or an angel. Happened in the Old Testament, happens in the New Testament as well. So all sorts of places that you can look up. I'll highlight 2 that we've already talked about. Very beginning of Luke, we talked about these right around Christmas time. An angel comes and talks to Mary. "Greetings, Mary, highly favored. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus." You are going to become pregnant. You're going to give birth to Jesus, who will save the nation, save the people from their sin. That was God's word, God speaking to Mary, but not using a supernatural phenomenon and an unbodied, what's that word? Disembodied, thank you, voice. This was God sending the message through an angel. And then we know later on in that same chapter, an angel came to Zechariah when Zechariah was ministering in the temple. Zechariah, who's the parent of John the Baptist. Okay, there was another angel that showed up there to speak God's word specifically to his people. So a supernatural messenger or an angel. Second way that God spoke in the Bible. Third, dreams and visions. God spoke to people using dreams and visions. Visions, the difference between visions and dreams. A dream happens when you're asleep. A vision happens when you're awake. God can still use these sorts of things today. I could say some more about that, and we probably will in the future. But for now, dreams and visions. One of my favorite New Testament examples of God speaking using one of these methods here, other than Jesus, because Jesus himself was God, but it happens in Acts chapter 10. Peter is on the roof of Simon the tanner's house. He's up on top of the roof around lunchtime. He's taking a nap. And it was probably hot. He's probably smelling the vapors from the tanning shed that was right next door. He's hungry. And he has this vision of food being lowered down. And it actually happens to be all sorts of different animals that were unclean for Jews to eat. And he hears a voice in this vision: "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." And in the vision, Peter says, "No way, God, you know, I'm kosher. I'm a good Jew. I don't do that." And that happened three times. When Peter woke up from this dream, was it a dream or a vision? I don't remember. I'll have to look back. Anyway, from the dream or the vision, he comes out of that experience, and there's someone knocking on the door. And it's someone that's going to take him to Cornelius' house. It's part of the reason that you and I get to be in the church today, because that's when the church started letting the Gentiles in, because of that way God communicated to Peter. Amazing story. So dreams and visions. An audible voice. This doesn't happen often at all when there isn't either a messenger or a supernatural thing, but there are times when people actually heard the voice of God but didn't see anything. It's like in the story that Sean and Kate read from 1 Samuel 3, little boy Samuel in the temple with Eli. And that's where we're going to spend our time later. So an audible voice. That was the fourth. Fifth, the human voice. This way is actually really, really common, even though there are only four places where it's listed. All of the prophetic books, Old Testament, God used a human being to speak and to convey his message. So these people spoke God's word. These were people who were authorized to go around saying, "Thus says the Lord." And then they would speak in the first person as if they were God, because God had given them a specific message. So there's a good chunk of the Bible. It's like the middle third, the prophetic books, both the major and minor prophets, all sorts of things there. And I've given you a few there. Also happens in the New Testament. I gave you the example of 1 Corinthians. And then lastly, the sixth way that God spoke to people in the Bible: the human spirit, your conscience, also sometimes referred to as the still small voice, where God speaks to someone's heart. We'll be talking more about that specifically next week, the still small voice. That still small voice, that phrase comes from a story where Elijah was wanting to see God after he was afraid that he was the only prophet left. And he asked if he could see God's face. God says, "You can't see my face. If you see my face, you'll die. You can see my back." So he put him into a cave in the mountain and he walked past. He was supposed to listen for God. And there was an earthquake. God wasn't in the earthquake. There was a violent storm. God wasn't in the violent storm. But then he was in a deafening silence, a still small voice. And then he came out and he got to see God's back. It's amazing. So that's another way that God speaks. If you have questions about those, let's hold on to them to the end, because some of them may be covered, some of them will be covered other weeks. But I want to talk specifically about the story of Samuel, Eli, and, oh, I guess I had all these, didn't I? I did. All right, Samuel, Eli, and the voice of God. Now, in this story, you've got the little boy Samuel, who was a special child. His mom had been barren for years, wasn't able to have kids for a long time. And she was in the temple praying one day, and she was praying so hard and babbling that Eli, the priest, thought she was drunk. He comes over probably to shoo her out of the temple. Say, you can go sleep that off someplace else. But he ends up talking to her and hearing her prayer and seeing her faith. He actually got a word from the Lord and said, "Okay, you will have a son. You should name him Samuel." She has a son, brings him back, and she actually dedicates Samuel. She's so thankful for this gift that she actually gives Samuel back to God. Amazing story, amazing faith. And so she actually gave Samuel to the temple, to God, to be trained up as a priest. And so that's why Samuel was sleeping in the temple in a different room from Eli, who's the priest. And so there's Samuel and Eli and the voice of God. So here, Samuel. I've got these first two names backwards. Samuel hears, but he doesn't know what it is. Remember? So he hears the voice say, "Samuel, Samuel," and what does he do? Gets up out of bed, goes, finds Eli, says, "You called?" I don't know about you, but how it worked in my family when I grew up, if one of my parents would call my name, "Greg," you know, it always has that kind of two-tone thing, "Greg," my job as child was not to say, "What?" My job was to go to them. I don't know if you grew up that way, but that's how I grew up. They would say, "Greg," and I shouldn't say "what," because the answer would be, "Come here." And so Samuel was there in bed. He hears this voice, "Samuel," and "Samuel." I don't know if it was like that. I don't know how God did this. But he gets up out of his bed and he goes to the person who he thought was calling him, because it was actually something that he heard with his ears. "Samuel." Maybe God whispered because it was late at night. "Samuel. Samuel. Here I am. I didn't call you. Go back to bed." So here, we see that Eli, I've got these named backwards, Eli didn't hear God speak. So I think that's something important. This was a voice directed specifically to Samuel. Eli didn't hear it. We don't know how far apart their rooms were. We don't know that. But we know that Samuel heard and Eli didn't. Okay, so it happens a second time. "Samuel," or "Samuel," but Eli was able to teach the boy Samuel what to do next. In this particular case, it wasn't Eli the priest who was hearing. It was a small, young, untrained boy. And it also says that in this time, in Israel, visions were very, very rare. God speaking to people was very, very uncommon. Samuel didn't know any of this. Eli the priest, after Samuel comes back a second time, "What? You called me?" "No, I didn't call you." He gets the idea. This is God. This is God speaking to this young boy. And so he teaches him. He gives him an able an activity to do. He was able to teach Samuel what to do, how to hear, and what to do to respond. And so then Samuel learns and he hears God speak again. "Samuel. Samuel." And Samuel says, "Here I am." "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And that's exactly what Samuel says in 1 Samuel 3:10. Can you imagine this little boy? I can imagine one of my nephews and their little boy voice that's still high and a little squeaky. "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And this starts Samuel down a crazy, crazy journey of learning to speak to God, learning to hear God, because God continued to speak to him. It was Samuel who anointed Saul king of Israel. It was Samuel who anointed David king of Israel after Saul had screwed up. And Samuel's relationship with God was such that he knew that he was supposed to go to Jesse's house and anoint one of Jesse's sons as king over Israel. He knew this. God had told him. So he goes to Jesse's house with his bottle of olive oil, ready to anoint the next king. Jesse is there with his sons. Jesse says, "Here are my sons." He's excited one of them is going to be king next. So he says, "Here you go." And he has them walk by one by one. And I don't know if, you know, he takes out his TSA wand or something. But he looks at them. The first guy he sees, he's the oldest. He's the biggest. He's the strongest. Samuel thinks, this guy must be the one. But God says to him, "This isn't the one." Because man, humanity, humankind looks at the outside, but God looks at the heart. If you've ever heard that phrase, that came to God through Samuel, this little boy who at one point didn't know how to hear God. He didn't know that God could speak to someone. And so Samuel goes through the entire line of Jesse's sons and says, "Sorry, God didn't tell me it was any of these. This isn't all of your sons, is it?" "No. There's a little guy, David. He's out watching the sheep. Bring him. I'll wait until he's here." So this little boy who had this first encounter with two simple words, actually one word repeated, "Samuel. Samuel." And he didn't know what to do with it. He thought it was a normal human voice. But through a good teacher, Eli, he was able to learn how to hear, how to decipher that voice of God from his own voice, that voice of God from another human being, another good teacher's voice. This is where we start. But as we start, I want you to know some things. God spoke in the Bible. God is continuing to speak today, and that's why I'm doing this series.
You need to know that God loves you. You need to know that God wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to have the sort of relationship where he can say to you, Aaron, Kate, Justin. And it's as normal as talking to somebody else. Normal as talking to someone that you can see and hear. God loves you. He wants to know you. He wants you to become more like Jesus. When the supernatural messenger, Gabriel, came to Mary, one of the things that he said to her, his name will be Emmanuel, God with us. One of Jesus' titles, one of his roles was to let humanity know that God is with us. And then when Jesus was ready to go, he actually told his disciples, it's a good thing that I go. Because when I go, my Father will send to you another one like me, another one like Emmanuel, God with us. When I go, my Father will send to you the Holy Spirit. And that's how we hear from God today. God still can use these other methods. God could speak in thunder. I don't know. Maybe there's something there. But I want you to know that just like the little boy Samuel, you can be taught to distinguish that voice from others. You can learn the right response and how to be obedient to that. And that's the journey that I want us to start on. So this is what I have for us. And now I'd be interested in hearing from you. Let's start with the six different ways that God speaks. So I'll actually go back. There we go. Do you have any stories in the Bible that you remember? Of examples of those. Of examples where God spoke. What's that? The burning bush. Absolutely. Even if you haven't read that from Exodus 3. You've seen Charlton Heston, or you've seen it in Prince of Egypt. A phenomenon plus a voice. Jonah. Yeah. There's multiple ways there. God spoke to him. We don't know if it was an audible voice or one of those internal voices. God says to Jonah, go tell these people to repent. And he says, I don't want to go there because they know who you are and they'll repent. And I want them to get what's coming to them. I love that story. And then there's the fish, and God talked to Jonah and the fish. Yeah.
The angel that came to Mary.
Love it.
With
Joseph, it was I want to say an angel came to him in a dream. Yeah, one of you could check. Go to there are a couple places. There's also in Matthew, an angel. I want to say that it was also an angel who came to Joseph to let him know that Herod was dead when they were hanging out in Egypt because they had fled the persecution. That'd be in Matthew 2 or 3. Angel in a dream. So two together. How about that? Yeah. Also Exodus. Yeah, after Moses had seen the burning bush and heard the audible voice, after he'd gone and got all the people out of Egypt, and he brought them to Mount Moriah, Mount Sinai. There, God's presence enveloped the mountain, and the people saw the cloud, heard his voice, and they were scared. At that point, I think it's interesting, at that point God told Moses that he wanted to have a relationship with the entire nation. And the entire nation said, no thanks, you talk to God on behalf of us, please. Because they were scared. They had just seen what God did to the Egyptian army. They had just seen what God had done for them. And they thought, wow, this is crazy powerful God stuff. We'll let you deal with that. Moses? Everybody else takes two steps back. Hey, we have a volunteer. Good.
Really, one of the most profound ones that I can think of is Paul before his conversion. And, you know, God basically coming to him, blinding him with things. Why are you persecuting me? And the radical conversion.
That's an interesting one. If you have your Bible and want to turn to Acts 9. So, right after the Gospels, you've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Next one is Acts, which is part two in the two-part series of Luke, Acts. So, same author, same audience. Luke is continuing the story. Acts chapter 9. We find out who Saul was. At this point, his name isn't even Paul yet. He changes it. Acts chapter 9, verse 3. There's some interesting points here. As Saul was approaching Damascus on his mission, a light from heaven, so there we've got a phenomena, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. Saul fell to the ground and heard a voice, so phenomenon plus a voice, heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And for me, this one, I don't hear, Saul, I don't hear, Saul. This is, you know, James Earl Jones plus reverb or something. I don't know. This is a big, booming,
Saul.
Yeah, thank you.
Saul.
Yeah, Darth Vader math. Why are you persecuting me? Just like Samuel, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city and you will be told what you must do. So there's, again, get up and go. And I love verse 7. The men with Saul stood speechless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice, but saw no one. Your version may say something like, they heard a sound, but they didn't understand it. They heard something, but they didn't get the message. So another one. This is another amazing time that God spoke. Had huge ramifications for us.
God spoke to someone in a dream asking like if they wanted wealth or wisdom.
Yes.
Solomon.
Good job. God appeared to Solomon, gave him the choice. Which would you rather have? Or ask me. He even said it that way, is even more broad. Ask me what you would have me give you. Because I loved your father David, I will give you whatever you ask. I'll give you wisdom. Or I want wisdom. Okay, and because you asked for wisdom, not long life and lots of money, I'll give you all three. That was God's response. God definitely spoke to Noah. He smocked. He had mind meld. Yeah. You might have to go back to Genesis chapter 7 and see, was it a voice? Did he hear God's voice? Did he hear God? Did God just say to him? Sometimes we don't know exactly what it looks like. But, you know, Evan Almighty had to build the ark, right? God said.
Adam and Eve multiple. that strikes me. Or, you know, they're hidden and they get in. And, well, you were naked. Oh, how did you know you were naked?
Yeah. I love the way that that picture is painted. In the cool of the evening, as God was walking through the garden, he called out to Adam and Eve. He called out. That was probably, Adam, Eve. And they said, rather than coming, they said, what? I'm not coming right now because no fig leaf yet. They knew they were naked and they were ashamed. No shame up until that point. Yeah. Elijah, Elisha, one of those. No, same story, yeah. Yes. Okay, I'll look it up too and we'll see. That would be around 1 Kings 17-ish. I don't always know these sorts of things, but I've been reading these stories a lot in the last couple of weeks. So. Right, I could have, but I don't like fakers. And, you know, it's one of those things where I recognize that we've got a span of comfortability here with the Bible. I know that some of you know the Bible as well, if not better than I. You've been spending as much time, if not more, than I. That's awesome. So I'm not going to pretend if you ever ask me a question and I don't know the answer, my answer will be, I don't know, let's find it. Through dreams.
Yeah,
and multiple dreams. You know, even the first one that got him thrown into the pit, right, by his brothers, because he didn't know what to do with that vision, that dream that he got. Sometimes there are words that we probably shouldn't share with each other. God gave me a vision. I saw mom and dad and all of you, and you bowed down before me. God showed it to me. There's no way that someone else is going to hear that. Well, your brothers will sell you into slavery. So Joseph, at the young age, whatever he was there, didn't do a great job of stewarding that gift, of using that well. But he did. He learned better. And when he was in prison, and there were some people who had crazy dreams, and Joseph then interpreted those. I don't know how God gave him that interpretation. I'd have to look that up also. That one's in Genesis. That's as close as I can get for that one. 50 is too late. I don't know.
Exodus 33 is when Moses says, I mean, they've been having conversations. Show me your glorious presence.
Oh, okay.
You know, it may not look directly at my face, so then he stands on the rock and covers his face until he bows.
All right, so I was combining two stories. All right.
I just like that.
Moses on the mountain, yeah.
Like, show me this.
Okay. We worship a God who speaks. God so much wanted a conversation with his people, with humanity, that he sent his one and only son as Emmanuel, God with us. And not only that, when Jesus had done when he had completed his mission here, he went away and sent us someone even better than Jesus when it comes to relationship and communication. God sent us the Holy Spirit who would live in us. Like the new covenant, like I was talking about earlier. When God would work on our hearts and take our heart of stone and turn it into a heart of flesh, a tender heart towards God, because of God in us. Do you have any questions? Any things that you would really hope I would cover? Either you hope that I would cover tonight about the Bible stuff or in the next couple weeks. Is there anything you really want to know about hearing God? At our advisory team meeting Friday night, we had a conversation about introverts and extroverts. And one of the reasons that I'm really comfortable and really okay giving long pauses like that is if you're an extrovert, you're usually ready right now with an idea. And it may not be a perfect idea, it's just an idea and you're ready to blurt it out there. Once it's out there, you can tweak it a little bit and get it closer to what you want. Introverts will think about the question. And they'll ponder it and they'll look at it this way and turn it around in their head, and if they have an answer, when it comes out, it'll be fully formed, but it just takes a little bit longer. So those of us who are extroverts and like to process information out loud, my tendency is to just give an answer right away. So there are times like that where I'm really comfortable giving you some time. If you're uncomfortable, that's okay. Nothing wrong with a little bit of time of silence. If you think of other questions throughout the week, there are lots of different ways to get a hold of me. Phone number, Facebook, text, lots of different ways. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I'd be kind of hard on Instagram. Anyway. I saw a vision. Is that a phenomenon? I heard something. Anyway. There you go. We've got a logo. We have several that we're using now. One thing that I would ask, that even at this point, before you've got lots of training in hearing God, be listening, be looking. Because as we go forward, I will be asking you questions. How have you seen God this week? How have you heard God this week? I have this undergirding expectation that God wants to communicate with us. That God wants to remind you of who you are and how valuable you are, how much you are loved, how much you are cherished, how much you are His precious son or daughter. And so God wants to talk to us. God wants to have a relationship with us, and that involves communication. So, next week, probably not as the warm-up question, but probably in here, in this space, I will ask you and give you the opportunity to share, how have you heard God? How have you seen God this week? And I'd love if some of you have something to share. So, be looking. Be watching. Because I expect that God will speak. Pray with me. Thank you, God, that you are good and that you love us and that you speak to us. This week, I pray, God, that you would give us visions, that you would give us dreams, that you would speak to us by using angels, by using your Bible, your word, maybe even an audible voice. Give us glimpses of who you are. Help us to see. Thank you, God, in advance for the ways we get to meet. In Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know exactly how God gave this blessing to Aaron, Moses' brother, to bless the people, but God gave it to him. So again, I'd like to bless you with that benediction. So I invite you to
hold out your hands as if it's Christmas Day and you're ready to receive a gift. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. Have a great week.